TG Geeks, episode 207, February 4th, 2019. Occupants and assassins and more assassins. Oh, my. Hello and welcome to another webcast from TGGeeks.com, where Ben and Keith, the two gay geeks,
I didn't say anything.
About, you snickered. Talk about all the aspects of geekdom and nerdery.
It was the hello.
Sci-fi, comics, film, horror genre, you name it. We talk about it. If it is in the geekosphere, we're going to talk about it. I'm Keith Lane, and we're coming to you from TG Squared Studios in lovely polar vortexy overcast 71 degree Phoenix, Arizona.
71, yeah, we shall rebuild.
Yes.
And I'm Ben Ragginton, coming to you from a studio where I cannot even see the computer in front of me because I've got egg all over my face from the interview we just conducted here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, see, I shouldn't look at you when I say something weird.
No.
You get me tickled. You know, tickle people, myself.
Well, people listening to this are going to get the wrong idea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was that kind of show.
Yeah, exactly.
He said tickle.
Anyway, let's get right on with it.
Prepare for hyperdrive.
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Episodes, the two gay geeks are discussing this.
Well, we have an interview with a friend of ours who has done several films, and we actually talked
since
to him
the
since
the last time we actually did a proper interview with him, he has done several things.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about workaholic.
No kidding. Russ Emanuel, who you may remember, we did the big push on Occupants that did its world premiere at Phoenix Comic Con a couple of years ago, and we really did a lot of things with that. And he's back to talk with us about what he has done since then. And there's a bunch of interesting stuff. And we talked to him way back. And so we're just now getting to his episode. I'm sorry, Russ, but here we go. We're going to talk to him. We got our birthday shout outs, as always. We got our featured podcast of the week and everybody's favorite feedback. In our second segment, we're going to talk about a show that we have been watching on the Shudder. Is there a network?
It's a streaming service.
Streaming service on Shudder. So I can't wait to talk about that. Then we're going to have our weekly recap. And, of course, all of our follow-up items, people we need to thank and stuff that's going on. So we're going to get right to that interview segment with Russ Emanuel right now. And we welcome back to our show Mr. Russ Emanuel, who is director of a number of different films and one that we covered extensively and had him on the show. We've had him on the show a number of times. Three or four times, yeah. So welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate it.
So since,
how many Comic-Cons ago?
Yeah,
how many are you thinking of Occupants?
Yeah, Occupants. And how that was 2 years ago, was that, when Occupants came out?
I think we had our world premiere at the Phoenix Comic-Con Film Festival in early June of 2016. So it's been
a little 2.5 years. Yeah. So what has happened with that? I mean, oh my gosh, I've been following it on Facebook. And
yeah, Occupants is still making the circuit, apparently.
Tell our listeners what the heck is going on with Occupants and all the crazy stuff with that.
It's like taking on a Pet Cemetery vibe. It just won't die.
going and going.
Which I'm grateful for. I'm really grateful. I mean, I met you because of Occupants.
Right.
Occupants has been in like 120 festivals.
Wow.
We've won, I don't know how many, like 60 or I don't know how many wins, but it's quite a lot, you know. since we talked, and one award that I'm really holding my heart. Of course, the Shriek Fest Award, I told you about that one. That one really just helped propel us. We won that 2 years ago, and that was for the best sci-fi feature. But earlier this year at the Las Cruces International Film Festival, which is a really good festival, they awarded me Best Director for Occupants. Yes. And that really shocked. That shocked me. You know, I had no speech. I had nothing because I'm going, no way. It's impossible.
It's not
going
to happen. Yeah.
But I just thought, you know, I just wanted to go. They had free hotel and I wanted to see, Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I got to fly in through El Paso, Texas, and it's a really great people there. There's this one person I met. His name is Carlos. He's now working with us on my latest feature film called Whisper. Yes, he's doing the visual effects. So you know, and I remember, we met up like the day after or the day I was leaving. He bought me lunch and all that. So you know, a very nice guy. So now he's part of the Whisper production. And he's doing a really good job on the visual effects work. So yeah, I meant Occupants has, pardon the pun, kept me occupied.
I guess so. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. But you haven't been resting on your laurels at the same time. I mean, you're going in multiple directions because you're still taking Occupants around and yet you're still putting out new work.
Yeah. So what happened after Occupants? Yeah. Obviously it premiered at Phoenix Comic Con Film Festival and been doing all kinds of things. What projects have happened since then?
Well, first off, Occupants now has distribution and you can actually see on Amazon Prime. Yeah. So, you can buy the DVD on Amazon. And other sites too. I think, I don't know. There's other sites. And of course I'm not handling distribution, but yes, we do have distribution of the film. Because of Occupants, I now am working with producer, writer Troy Gabaldon, who I misspelled his name as Gabaldon when I first met him.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Troy. And he hired me to direct a kind of like it's like a sizzle reel, a concept piece called Collar. It's a very controversial film about a priest. And I can't say too much about it, but it's definitely a take on religion.
Right.
And what I liked about it was the way Troy writes, he puts in a lot of twists. It's the same thing as for Occupants with Julia Cameron's script, a brilliant script. I mean, it just left you guessing, you know, what is going to happen next. And I heard that from a lot of people. So we're actually, because of Collar, we're screening tomorrow at the Studio City International Film Festival, which is a really good festival.
Nice.
Again, I've tried to get in before with previous films and, you know, I got in this time with Collar. And there's another one called Another Hole in the Head in San Francisco. And again, I try to get, you know, previous films in, and this was the first one to actually get accepted. So this one is very, I guess, artistic and very controversial. And it was something new for me. So, you know, I was honored that Troy, hired me. He paid me. And we already had a budget and everything. So
it's always nice to get
we
paid.
No, it's great. Yeah. And, you know, we're working together on a future upcoming film. This is not Whisper, but one called Testament. So, he's a really great guy. And I'm just glad that, you know, I can call him a friend. So that's Collar. Now, because of Occupants, this is all because of Occupants. I also met Paul Hickman. And Paul Hickman was a contributor to our Indiegogo campaign for Occupants.
Right.
And he was a big Star Trek fan. So he came on because we had a Star Trek actor, Robert Picardo.
Right. Yeah.
And so a year later, he says, okay, I want to do this other concept piece called The Assassin's Apprentice.
Right.
And again, he hired me and paid me and all that stuff. And we did a Kickstarter Indiegogo campaign and, you know, raised the money. And that one stars Robert Picardo again, Marina Sirtis, who was Counselor Troy, Deanna Troi on Star Trek The Next Generation, and a renowned stunt actress named Tara Page, who plays the lead. She is Kaylee, the Assassin's Apprentice. So it's like a journey of, it's basically, it's an action film. And if you know anything about something called parkour.
Yeah.
The way people move on rooftops and all that. Well, we tried to incorporate that into the film. And one of my inspirations, there are two, like The Matrix, but also Run Lola Run.
Mm-hmm.
I find those action films very fascinating. So we did that. And I was very happy, and it was crossing my fingers about this, but the first festival we got into, the Independent Filmmaker Showcase, they awarded us Best Short Thriller Film at our first festival. And that's a very good festival in its 26th year.
That's so great.
The reason I'm happy is because my producer was happy. You know, he was there with his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
And he got an award, nice crystal award. And, you know, I mean, basically I was happy because he was happy. So if my producers are happy, I'm happy.
Exactly.
And because of the success. Yeah, because of the success of this one. And this one, okay, Collar has been in maybe 70 festivals now, and Assassin's Apprentice is approaching 60.
Wow.
So he's very happy. And because of that, we actually are doing a sequel now called The Assassin's Apprentice Goes to the Canary Islands. I think that's the title.
That's an interesting title.
The title probably will change, but we're filming part of it in the Canary Islands. And I don't know if you know where that is. It's off
the coast of Spain, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's off the west coast of where Morocco is. It's just right off Morocco. So it's in northern Africa. And I don't know if you know this. You probably do. But Casablanca was shot there in Morocco.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, play it again, Sam. Mm-hmm. That bar is, I think, still there. So I kind of want to visit that before going to the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of the best films ever made, in my book, anyway. So now that film is going to take place a couple years later. And again, I can't give too much away because the script's kind of hush-hush under wraps.
It's still in development, I would
it's
think.
It's another journey. It's another journey that Kaylee, Tara, is going to reprise her role. And this time we're having Armin Shimerman, who's with Quark on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and Gary Graham, who was on Alien Nation.
He also played Soval and in Enterprise.
Yeah. In Star Trek Enterprise, yes, he was a Vulcan ambassador. Soval, you're correct about that. So basically, we're just tapping into a lot of Trek alums. it's gonna be basically bigger and more action than the first film. So that's what's happening on that front. And then I mentioned Whisper, which is my fifth feature film I directed. Occupants being my fourth. And again, Whisper, I very sure would not have happened without the success of Occupants. So Whisper is a crime drama. It's based on a true story. It's basically about this African-American businessman who owns bars in Harlem, but recently moved his family from Harlem to a nice neighborhood in New Jersey. And basically his family's murdered. So it's a true story, and the police departments of Jersey and New York, they did not coordinate properly. And basically, he was a suspect for a long time. So it's a very controversial film, like Collar, I would say. It's a passion project of my producer, Howard Nash, and Howard is the producer of Occupants, and basically all my feature films.
Sorry. somebody was calling my cell phone, and then it rang on the computer too. It's like, nope.
Anyway, please continue.
That was classical, wasn't it? Classical music.
Well, we had the marimba on the computer, and then we had Ride of the Valkyries on my cell phone.
That's good. Okay, I like that. I like that. So, so Howard Nash is the producer of all of my feature films, and he hired me again to direct Whisper, and again paid me, and you know, I get back in points, and so I'm just really grateful that you know that people are, I guess, hiring me.
Well, it sounds like you're getting on some really exciting projects here
and staying busy.
You're obviously, staying very busy
and getting paid.
That's the great thing. You're getting money out of this.
Paid.
That's the exciting part, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's one more project I'm working with, and this is I can't say too much, but it's called Alien Cross. Ooh. And it's the brainchild of Sean and Taki Kenny. I don't know if you know Sean Kenny. He was the crippled Captain Pike on the original Star Trek series.
Yes!
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm working with them.
Kidding. And, that's big.
Yeah.
So you have this thing for Star Trek, huh?
Yeah, I met Dave. They actually they went with me to the Sedona International Film Festival, where Occupants was playing. You know, they wanted to, you know, of course, see the Red Rocks, and we actually went to together to the Roswell Film Festival.
Oh, cool!
Where Occupants was screening again, and it won best editing. So, big shout out to Emil Harris, who's been my editor for basically every film I've done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're very great people. They were affected. I don't know if you know, there's some fires going on.
Right. Yeah. And, we're very familiar with those, the fires. Yeah.
So basically right now, they had to be evacuated from their house.
Wow.
They live near the fires, but they're fine. And, it seems they're going to be able to go back soon. But yeah, basically, you know, I just, you know, crossing my fingers for them, just mm-hmm. make sure everything's okay. So, yeah, so we're working on a project, and I can't say too much about it. But, yeah, again, they want to hire me, and, you know, I mean, I'm just, again, grateful that, you know, people think that I know what I'm doing. So,
Are you in a position now where you can actually start picking the projects? Because I know that, you know, when you're first starting out, you know, a lot of, you know, people in the movie business or TV business, they'll just take whatever is handed to them until they reach a certain profile by which they can then start being more selective. You think you're getting to that point now?
Yes. And, I hope so. I'm crossing my fingers, knock on wood, but, I made, in preparation for, finding an agent, that this is the next step, in my career. Was highly suggested by Sean and Taki. So mm-hmm. I made new business cards, and I'm going to be setting up meetings. So if I'm able to get an agent, then what will happen is then, they will, you know, search out for, I guess, projects for me.
Oh, cool.
Whether it be commercials, music videos, I don't know.
Well, I was going to think, if you get yourself an agent, then that could put you in a position where you could get representation, or they can represent you to a major studio.
Yeah, and hopefully they won't
take too much of the cut.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm satisfied with my career trajectory up to my present point, and I'm, you know, 41, and it's been a very interesting journey, you know, and I just look forward to the next 10 years, 20 years, hopefully, however long.
You're just a babe.
I'm on this planet, but, I'm just, you know, grateful that, you two, you know, Ben and Keith are, you know, want to talk with me, and thank you for that.
Yeah.
And, I'm just, you know, very grateful. So I keep saying that. So
that's okay.
I sound like
we're grateful.
I just sound like I'm beating a dead horse.
That we were that to you for, you know, trusting us with Occupants the way you did. I mean, you really, wow, that was a major thing for us.
It was a big deal for us.
Yeah. So thank you to you, Mutual Admiration Society here. You know.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to the world premiere, and the way you set up for the interviews is very professional. I mean, I remember that we were around, like, I guess in your hotel room or mm-hmm. like a round table or something.
Yep.
And you had all this equipment, and I remember Julia was there, Brianna White, our lead actress, was there.
Yeah.
And I think, I was there. Oh, who else was there? Oh, gosh, I forgot. But I know also
Eric,
on the phone you
Eric was there.
Michael Pliassi.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric. Yeah. Eric. Shout out to Eric Katz, our associate producer.
Yeah.
It's been a journey, you know. I don't know, you know, and I know you're coming up on your episode 200, which a big congratulations.
Oh, so, thank you.
You know, hopefully, you know, you helped me, and I hope I was able to help you somehow.
Yeah, I believe so.
It was a great little testimonial, and that we're actually recording this before. the 200th airs, but we're, this is going to air after the 200th. So time
well, it's too timey-wimey for me. Yeah.
So
Well, I do have a question. So sure. When you first interviewed me back 2.5 years ago, what episode was that?
Oh, my word.
You remember?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to actually look that up now, don't I?
Yeah.
Oh,
Why don't you look that up while I ask him a question?
Go for it.
I know that and if you don't want to talk about this, that's okay too. But I know that during the Whisper project that you had some something happen in your life that was life changing. Would you like to share about that?
Yes.
Or I mean, you don't have to, but
No, it's fine. I had a, well, you know, there's basically the last year has been a little tougher on the personal side, I guess. My dog Charlie passed away.
Oh,
and that's
last December. So, you know, you see, I have something called eczema, which is a part of allergies. So when I was growing up, I could never have a dog. So basically, what happened was once I left the house, you know, and then my brother also left, my parents got Charlie. And so I always considered Charlie my first pet, right, if you will. So, yeah, when he passed, you know, it was expected, but still, you know.
Yeah, it's a hard thing.
It was them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never experienced, passing of an animal. I know other people have, and I know you have cats, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
I've never experienced that. So, you know, that really hit me hard. And then, yeah, I had this, and I don't really want to talk about this too much, but I had this, I'll talk about this because I can relate it to Whisper. I had this hand injury that happened. And basically it cut two nerves. And it was a freak accident, basically involving a coffee mug.
Oh dear.
And I had to have surgery to kind of repair it. You know, I was put under like the propofol, the drug that killed Michael Jackson. They literally had to put me under for 2.5 hours.
Wow.
To perform the surgery to reconnect the nerves. So, and they're still damaged today. You know, it's never going to be perfect, but I can use my hand again. So that's a good thing. But the reason I say this is because there was a scene in Whisper that involved a very gruesome murder, basically the aftermath of a murder. And so I was showing the actors just to tell them, look, this is how horrific it was. And I had pictures of my hand,
right.
You know, and I told them, and I did not do that to try to freak them out. I did that to tell them, look, this is exactly, you know, this is real. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. This is the, you know, this is how you're feeling. Right. It seems that works because, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't like to show that photo. I only used it to motivate, I guess,
right,
you know, part of the directorial choice. But yeah, it was quite interesting when I was directing Whisper. Basically, it was like a month after the accident. So I was still on kind of a semi-portable cast. And so I started calling myself Director Strange. Yeah, you got it. Okay, good. What was it? And then I single-handedly directed. I kept
right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, and then I would say, I have a cast. And I have a cast.
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's why I asked that question, because I know that you could relate it to that project. And a lot of people helped you through that. And you continued on with the project, even with this horrific injury. So,
well, and as you said, I mean, you showed the injury. I mean, it was able to lend a sense of authenticity and truthfulness to that one story element. In Whisper.
Well, put it this way, as a director, I now know to smell. I can still smell the blood.
Yep.
I can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's very, you know, it really gushed a lot of blood. I don't want to scare anybody, but that's one of those incidences that you will never forget.
Right.
So I remember how warm it was, the blood, and how metallic
yep.
it smelled.
Yeah.
And so when I directed that murder, you know, the aftermath of the murder scene, I can relate now, you know, at least from a injury point of view.
Right.
You know, luckily I'm alive, not like, you know, the family that was brutally murdered.
Right.
And again, the film is about who murdered the family. So, you know, and it's again based on a true story, and you know, I'm very proud of that film. There, if you go to whisperproject.com, it's whisper without an H, by the way. So it's not like whispering. It's whisper, W-I-S-P-E-R, project.com. Mm-hmm. You can see the trailer. And basically, I didn't realize the magnitude of the film until I saw the trailer. And the trailer came out, I guess, in December. So we filmed in July, and it came out in December. And then I saw the trailer. I'm going, oh, my. What did I do? It's like we had 12 locations. This okay, Occupants had what? Two main actors, yeah, and a Picardo, right, in the supporting, in one house, interior. That was the whole film.
Right.
This film had 12 locations in New Jersey and New York, had over 100 actors.
Wow.
And we shot. It was, and then when I saw the trailer, I'm going, whoa, did I direct that? So it didn't dawn on me until I saw the trailer, because when I'm directing, I'm really focused on just getting the shots, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure we have what we need in the can. And by the way, I met this really great company called Clapit, clapit.com, who helped to fund Whisper, and we've been working with them on future projects. It's a brainchild of Mary Jane Bolseco, and basically, you know, she's now part of the family. So big shout out to them, because Whisper would not have happened without them.
Cool.
So, it's been a very interesting journey. And yeah, again, I wouldn't take it back, because as much as there have been downs, there's also been very big ups, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm content.
Absolutely.
I guess would be the way I want to put it, you know. So on this Veterans Day, and yeah, shout out to my father, by the way, he's a veteran. So,
yeah,
and to all the veterans out there. So on this day, I'm just, you know, I'm just content, thankful. I guess would be the word. So
you
thankful,
found
content. Yeah,
you found the episode.
I found the episode that we first interviewed you on, and it was episode 69 from April 18th, 2016.
130 episodes ago. we've been busy.
Then I'll put a film.
Yeah.
Then I'll put a film. 69, dude. Yeah.
Wasn't exactly going to go there.
I love that film. Bill and Ted's.
So, yeah.
Anyway, but 69, huh?
Yeah, wow. Episode number 69.
That was 130 episodes ago.
About yeah. 130, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been cranking them out. We've been trying to publish, I think since that time, we have published an episode every single week for...
Without a break.
Since then.
Yeah, without a break.
In fact, that's what we're trying to do with all of these crazy interviews we've been doing. Get them all in the can so we can take a vacation.
Right. No, I totally understand. Well, I hope you had like a happy Halloween.
Yeah. We're going to have a good Christmas too, because just before
Christmas.
We're going to go to...
Going
to Florida to visit the Mickey Mouse, and then we're going to go on a cruise.
Nice.
So 2 weeks.
Yeah,
we'll be gone.
A nice little vacation.
Out of the country, you know?
Yeah. But in the meantime... Talking to you,
nice.
If people, okay, you already kind of gave one place where people can look up Whisper, but if people want to learn more about you and all the things that you're working on, because holy cow, as I said earlier, you're going in multiple directions all at the same time, and you're cranking out some really interesting content. Where can they learn more about everything that you're working on? Any social media presence or a website? Where can they learn more about all things Russ Emmanuel?
You go to my production site, russem.com, R-U-S-S-E-M, so M as in Mary.com,
mm-hmm.
And there's links to all the films from my first film that I did in like 2003, professional film, up to the present one, which is Whisper. So it's all there. I guess on Facebook, you can find me, Russell Emmanuel. Russell is my full name, but I go by Russ when I direct. So Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, Emmanuel, E-M-A-N-U-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm the one that has all the film posters, basically. So
Right. Basically
I use the site to, you know, just to help with publicity for the,
you bet.
For the film.
Why not?
For Occupants? Yeah, well, yes. And publicity really helps us because, you know, I mean, people want, the reason that, you know, I'm very grateful is that it seems like the momentum is still there. And that's what I want, you know. I want to be able to show that we can get into film festivals or win awards or, you know, make a new film. And, you know, going on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and I'm on all three, it helps us to just, you know, publicize what's going on. Mm-hmm. So they're all, it's all work related, basically. Just to show that we have content and it's still going on. And I know you do too.
I mean, we fully understand because we operate the same way.
Yeah, we use Facebook to our own advantage.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be on it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, for me, a necessary evil.
Exactly.
It takes a lot of work. It's a lot of work to update sites and all that.
But
you can find me on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. All the links, if you go to like just the Russum site, or if you go to occupantsthemovie.com, that's for the Occupants film, you know, the previous feature, you'll see links to Twitter or Instagram or YouTube. And yeah, if anybody wants to follow me or just, you know, see what's going on, I'll be around. So.
Okay.
Cool.
Yep.
Thank you, Russ Emanuel, for being on the show again with us this time.
No, thank you so much. Hi, this is Russ Emanuel, Director of Occupants, and you're listening to the Two Gay Geeks.
That was a really great interview with Russ.
He's a very engaging guest, and he always
just
has
busy all the time. Just
I know. Wow. How does he have time for a life? I don't think he even has a life.
Yeah, and I just noticed. I had a message on Facebook Messenger, and I opened Facebook, and there was a new thing that Occupants has been accepted in another film festival. It's still going. It's amazing.
Well, the gift that keeps on giving, I suppose.
Exactly. It's a great film. And here's a few selected birthdays for February 4th.
Great transition.
Yeah. Through February 9th, 2019. February 4th, Miss Rosa Parks. And a Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Oh, he's a hero of yours.
Wow. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was an anti-Nazi who stood up for what he believed and was basically...
He was executed for it
just before the end of the war.
Yeah.
You know, they were... I did some reading. Of course, when I do these birthdays, I always look at the different people, and then if something really piques my interest, I always look them up on Wikipedia or whatever. And, you know, and I knew about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but I had forgotten that towards the end of the war, they knew it was all coming crashing down, and they hurried up and tried him and hung him.
It was a mock trial, too.
Oh, my God.
It was a total travesty.
Yeah, well, he was in league with some of the anti-Nazi league trying to bring the downfall, but, you know, it was... Anyway, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote... Cost of Discipleship, that was his big book, and wrote from prison as well. Also on February 4th, George Romero, famed director.
Horrormeister,
yeah, there you go. And Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered...
Formerly known as a planet called Pluto.
Yeah, I still think it's a planet.
I do too, but hey, you know...
You never know.
There are people who would argue with this.
Yeah. Also on February 4th, Eric Leinsdorf, who was a conductor at the Metropolitan Opera during the early 60s. Also, Jack Evans, a friend of ours on Facebook, and he is the Poet Laureate of the Southwest District Conference of United Church of Christ. Ah. February 5th, Michael Sheen, Christopher Guest, who from...
He was in The Princess Bride.
He was also on, with Harry Shearer and the mockumentary.
Grief. Oh, A Mighty Wind.
But
he was also in Spinal Tap.
This
one goes to 11.
Yes. And among other things.
Yeah.
So, and also on February 5th, Hank Aaron, famed baseball great, and H.R. Giger, and Belle Starr, for anybody that's from Oklahoma, you certainly know who Belle Starr is, because she was part of the Oklahoma Outlaws. She was associated with Jesse James and a couple of an Indian gang, a Cherokee Indian gang in Oklahoma. And she has, there's a statue of her out in front of Willow Rock Museum. And she was kind of the thing, even though her escapades were less than honorable. Mm. She was an outlaw.
Indeed.
But everybody in that part of the country knows about Belle Starr. February 6th, Babe Ruth, another baseball great. Zsa Zsa Gabor, who is not a baseball great.
She's not a baseball great, but we have a one degree of separation. Or at least we did.
Yeah.
At one time.
And I'll just leave this right here. Rick Astley.
Oh, my God.
Just never going to?
No, we're not going to talk about it.
I'm going to give up. Anyway, also, Thurl Ravenscroft.
It's great.
It's great. Yeah, Tony the Tiger.
Among so other many. Things.
So many other things. He was the one that sang, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch."
And plus his voice is all over the place in Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. Also on February 6th, Francois Truffaut, famed director.
French filmmaker who also was a sometimes actor.
Yep. And Christian Hodko, a friend of ours from up in Canada. He's a filmmaker. And Lou DeLucy. Happy birthday, Lou.
Happy birthday, Lou.
February 7th, Charles Dickens, James Spader, Sinclair Lewis, and Dan Charette.
James Spader, Sinclair Lewis? Who's that?
James Spader, Sinclair Lewis. Yes, that's all one person.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like...
It's a fact.
It's a fact. We had a side story here.
Okay.
There was these two people that worked at our company. They worked both in the same office, sat right next to each other, and they were the coders for different interfaces that we had. And the very first meeting that I was at in that office, and everybody was always talking about Bevan Allen. Bevan Allen.
Oh, Bev and Allen, but it's like Bevan Allen.
Who in the hell is Bevan Allen? It's Bev and Allen.
Right. Yeah.
February the 8th. James Dean. Johnny Williams.
Oh, Johnny Williams.
Johnny Williams.
Who composed the music for Lost in Space. Yes. That's Johnny Williams.
That Johnny Williams. Also known as John Williams.
Who composed the music for Star Wars.
Exactly. And Jules Verne. Do you know him?
Do you know Jules Verne? What's he like?
And Dmitri Mendeleev, who is I won't say discoverer, but he put together the periodic table of elements.
Ah.
And Daniel Bernoulli, who actually, he was a mathematician, among other things, but his work in fluid dynamics is key to designing aircraft to this day.
It's the Bernoulli principle.
Yep. And also a fellow podcaster, Raz Yalov. February 9th, Michael B. Jordan, Tom Hiddleston, Alban Berg, who was a 20th century composer of 12-tone opera, most famously noted for Wozzeck and Lulu. Carmen Miranda, she was a Brazilian actress, dancer, singer.
With the most amazing headset.
Who was famous for her fruit headpieces and was also the inspiration for Chiquita Banana.
Aha.
That's it was the year after she died that Chiquita the Banana Company came up. Chiquita Banana. They came up with that because of her headdress.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Greene, who is a famous astrophysicist. Jasmine Duran, who is the intrepid assistant and wonderful publicist in her own right for Chick Art PR, and a good friend of mine that I've known forever, Ed McAllister. February 10th, Laura Dern, Robert Wagner, Jimmy Durante, and I put Jimmy Durante in here because most people don't know who Jimmy Durante is.
Oh, my God.
He was the schnoz, and he also was famous for saying, ha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Anyway, I put him in here specifically because Carmen Miranda died the night they were taping a performance for his show, and she was not feeling well. They did an impromptu performance for the cast and crew. She took some people back to her home for a little party, and later on the next morning at 3 a.m., she had a heart attack and died.
Oh, my word.
So
that's grim.
Yeah, really strange. Also on February 10th, Roberta Flack. And we'll close this out with Mr. Jerry Goldsmith. Probably one of my
favorite film composers. Wow. Just composer in general.
Composer in general, absolutely. And that's it for the birthdays this time.
Technorama, the podcast for geeks, because geeks are better than cool. You don't hear someone say, "Get away from me, you cool person." Who's gonna have their 65-inch home theater system installed by the cool squad?
Not me.
That's for sure. How much cool cred do you have? Not enough to care about. Think you'll find any canned unicorn meat at thinkcool.com? It's just a park domain name.
Not anymore.
They don't even have roadkill in a paper cup.
It's an actual place.
That's why you need to start listening to Technorama, because that's what geeks do. Go to chuckchat.com and listen to Technorama before you turn cool.
They have so many different bumper ads for Technorama, but that's my favorite one. Go give a visit and a listen to our friends Chuck and Craig over at Technorama. Now it's time for the always popular and everybody's favorite feedback. So take it away.
Yes, starting with episode 201, we had a couple of birthday greetings. So starting off, Keith Byron, he said, thanks for the birthday wishes. Got something from Gene Turnbow. He says, yay, thank you. Kevin Falkenberry says, thanks, cuz. He said that to you.
Yeah, he's my cousin.
And then got something from Cheekar Public Relations. They said, we love TG Geeks.
Yay.
And then we ran some time ago a review for Mary Poppins. Not only does Mary Poppins Returns, but also so does the Family Formula Fun. And got a comment from old friend Alice Harper. She says, thanks for the review. I'm looking forward to seeing with my great-granddaughter. Alice, you're not that old.
Oh, my God.
You're not that old, Alice. And then got a comment from Dr. Judy Wolf. She says, do you know David Crane? I think he wrote some of the music or some other important task regarding this movie. Yes, Judy, I actually looked it up. He did. He did have something to do with the putting together of this music for that film.
The putting together?
Yeah. The putting together.
Yes.
The pudding.
This movie.
Yeah, as in mince pudding.
Yes.
And then speaking of mince pudding, got a comment about an article, A Tale of Two Christmas Carols. You like what I did just there? Yeah. Comment from Corey Nelson. And she says, after seeing Patrick Stewart, and she did, she actually saw A Christmas Carol done live.
Wow.
Because that's what Patrick Stewart used to do before he made his movie. He was actually going around and performing it live on stage. At the time, Next Generation was still in production.
Wow.
So she says, after seeing Patrick Stewart do A Christmas Carol live on stage long ago, that was a high point in the many remakes of this story. He is my idol and a great Scrooge. The only one better is George C. Scott, who is a fantastic curmudgeon.
Oh my gosh. Those are our two favorite.
They are our two
Christmas
favorites.
Christmas Carol.
I'm hard pressed to say which one is my favorite.
I know. They're both.
They're both amazing in their own individual right. And then Keith ran a little breakfast restaurant review. Breakfast at Deuce's Kitchen can't be beat. And got a comment from Deuce's Kitchen themselves. They said, welcome, foodies. Thank you for your kind words. This inspires me to create new dishes that I show off as our daily specials. From our Deuce's crew to our customers, it takes all of us to make it a great place to gather. Big thanks for your shout out. Great fun for your support. 2019 is going to be our best yet.
Yay. And I have an article last Saturday talking about my criteria for a good dining experience.
Yeah, we're covering that. And then got a comment from Lisa Banish. She read read your article, and she says, going to have to venture out. And then got a comment from Paul Honeywell, and he writes, great review. Doesn't surprise me at all. Absolutely amazing food each and every time. And I have found two great food critics to follow. I need to correct that. You've only found one. I'm just there to enjoy the food. Keith is the real critic.
Yeah.
He's the expert.
Oh, well.
And then lastly, we had a direct email comment from Maurice Hines, who people might remember. He was responsible for the horror sci-fi film Chimera. And he says, "Hi, Keith and Ben. Just wanted to write and wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a wonderful New Year. All the best for a fantastic 2019. And that is it for our feedback.
Yep. And we welcome your comments. You can leave comments on our Facebook page, and you can like that page as well, tggeeks.com or TG Squared Studios. You can even comment on our YouTube episodes or at tggeeks.com, where you can comment on any of our articles or our episodes, and you could receive a shout-out on a future episode. We also have a listener feedback line, and that is 469-TG-GEEKS, 469-844-3357. And remember, please play nice.
Yeah, baby. They're like two gay geeks. They're together, you know. They're two gay guys, and they're geeks. Is that okay?
That music is appropriate, though. You're going to be messing with people's heads. They're going to be thinking, is something wrong with my
what
gear?
What is wrong with my headphones?
Yeah. But interesting you should play that, because now that is sort of inspired by Jim Steinman's music, I Need a Hero, and who, of course, was responsible for working with Meatloaf on the album Bat Out of Hell, because we're going to be talking about a series that dropped on Shudder, the horror streaming service not that long ago, called The Discovery of Witches, which does involve vampires.
Yeah. Do the letters OMG mean anything to you?
Yes, they do. Like,
oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. oh, massively gargantuan. I mean, I don't know. But wow, this, I had written a 3-episode article about this that came out a couple of weeks ago. And since that time, we had seen the entire series.
Wow.
So, but everybody kind of know what my thoughts were based on the first 3 episodes, but really speak.
Well, I thought it was great. I was intrigued from the very beginning whenever
It doesn't play as your standard witch vampire
horror thing. No, not at all. It's just fascinating. It's like this person who we discover that she has powers and that maybe she is a witch.
I am not a witch.
I am not a witch. You're wearing the nose.
They put the nose on me.
Yes, anyway.
There we go again.
Here we go again. Monty Python to the rescue. No, but when she discovers the book and she starts doing her research and all of the things that happen.
And then, really begins to learn who she is.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden this person shows up and he turns out to be a vampire. And it's like, it's daylight. Hello.
Yeah.
And all of this stuff. And it's so well told and so well acted. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. I was enthralled.
Well, it was one of those things. Well, thankfully, the entire series dropped in one big shot.
Oh, my gosh.
I think we're seeing a new model now.
Yeah. I have to have season 2 now.
Well, they are working on it.
I know.
And it's based on a trilogy,
right,
of books, and the season 1 was the first book.
I think I bought the first book already.
Did you really?
I think it's on my iPad. I just haven't had a chance to even start reading it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm very excited to see where this is going to go. This was more of a political intrigue, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, not political in the regular realm of politics.
Not in real world politics like we have.
The politics
of creatures.
Of creatures, and those creatures are witches, vampires, and demons. And it just... And how they are, in essence, kind of in control of the world. you know, well, and what the world sees.
Well, although at the very beginning, we get this announcement that they're losing control, right, that they're fading. But it appears that there's some kind of a power grab going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chicanery happening. And even though there's this uneasy truce that exists, it is uneasy. It was fascinating. The characters really make this movie, especially absolutely, our two primary characters.
Oh, yeah.
They are absolutely fantastic. And the acting is superb.
Yes.
I love the actor who played the chief vampire, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head. But he is, well, he's devilishly handsome, pardon the expression. But he was really able to pull in, there's some really wonderful subtle acting that takes place in all of this to help really give you a sense that these people are who they are acting to be.
Yeah, I mean, he plays a very old soul.
Centuries old soul.
Millennia.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so and I think he was the 1200s or something like 700 that.
And there's a 700s, I think. And there's a wonderful appearance. Alex Kingston has it's not a primary role, but it's definitely a significant role.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
this was such an enjoyable show. It ends on one stinker of a cliffhanger.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm just going to simply say, you know, check this out. If you can get Shudder, you can see it on the web. Just go to Shudder.com. There is a subscription for it, but I'd say it's well worth it because just not just for this series, but for all the content that they've got there. And then, of course, if you have an Apple TV and probably a Roku as well, you can get the app for it and then
stream it onto
your big TV at that point, or get the Shudder app for your portable device. It's worth it. There's some really, really great content that you can find on Shudder as well as other streaming services, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
And very well
later.
Shot as well.
Oh, I mean, it's
the
beautiful.
The cinematography is great too.
Oh, it's a beautifully shot show.
It's great all the way around.
Yes.
So that's it.
I'm Daniel Radcliffe, and I believe that reaching out for help is the bravest thing a person can do. If you are struggling and need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. It's free and confidential, and trained counsellors are there to listen 24/7 without judgment. To learn more about the Trevor Project's life-saving work for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning young people, go to thetrevorproject.org.
If you are trans or questioning about the trans life, there is a trans life line, the hotline, 877-565-8860, or in Canada, 877-330-6366. You can check out translifeline.org. And our weekly review.
Yes, starting with Sunday, January 27th. There was issue number 33 of Dr. Zombie, Monster Family Physician from Tommy Cannon.
It only gets better.
It only gets better. It really does. And then on Monday the 28th, we had TG Geeks episode number 206. Now, on Tuesday the 29th, there is My Gay Breakdown. Now, I'm not having some sort of a homosexual nervous breakdown. No! No, let me explain. As part of my movie watching for TG Geeks, I've decided to take a look at movies for the LGBTQ community that have probably flown under most people's radar. And the first one of these is a film called Arizona Sky. And then on Wednesday, January 30th, we had several things. Sundance 2019 premieres a Canadian short, Throat Singing in Kangersook. And also there was an equality bill to be introduced in Arizona. This was from the One Community press release. On Thursday the 31st, another one of my gay breakdowns where I talk about Shared Rooms, the movie. And then there's Andrea's Angle. This time she does a three-episode thought of The Passage, its first season. And also, Klexicon heads to Vegas in April. Focus on empowering LGBTQ and women. On Friday, February 1st, New Sushi number 48, Morsels of News from Japan and Beyond. Also, A Dog's Journey, the trailer, coming in May 2019. Well, and then...
That's the trailer.
Yeah,
but the
trailer.
The film's coming in May 2019.
Well, yeah. Well, I kind of thought that made sense. And then I just simply wrote what was there on the article.
You should have said A Dog's Journey trailer, pipe, coming May 2019.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that sign actually, I need to now call that a pipe.
Yes.
I knew what it was. I just didn't think I'd have to say it.
Well, anyway.
So like Ben's Gay Breakdown, pipe shared rooms.
There you go.
Right. And then, but then this one should have had, it should have said Keith's Corner Pipe.
There we go.
What yeah, I look for in a dining experience.
My corner pipe.
Yeah, your corner pipe. Keith's Corner Pipe. You said it.
I said it. You didn't. Anyway, that is all of those can be found on tggeeks.com, as well as entries on our Facebook page. Please visit and comment on those. Talking about restaurant reviews, it's a new category we've done.
Not anymore.
And, well, not so new anymore, but check out our restaurant reviews. Kind of interesting stuff there. I always kind of try to throw a little bit of humor in there and some interesting stuff. So check out the restaurant reviews. And as everybody knows, we are huge supporters of independent creators, whether it's filmmakers, comic book artists, writers, or others. Please buy their stuff, and if you're at a con, have cash for them. Please consider supporting independent creators by talking about their stuff and buying their stuff.
Special shout out to The Human Arkle. He puts out the Arkle Times Post Dispatch News, which republishes our content from time to time. And you can find it by searching Twitter at Arkle, A-R-K-L-E. He is Brian Weber. Also, if you go to his YouTube channel, just go to Arkle Studios, all one word, and you can find his shameless cash grab. Oh, we also must give some shout-outs to a couple of Facebook groups for allowing us to post our episodes and relevant articles on their pages. First to Gay Geeks After Hours. Big thanks to the moderators for literally saying, share away. And the URL is facebook.com/group/gaygeeksafterhours. And then, special shout out to The Gay Geek for also allowing us to share our stuff on their page. And URL is facebook.com/group/thegaygeek. And with special thanks to their moderator, Jeremiah Reeves, for allowing us to share that content there.
And lastly, we are now on Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Anchor, as well as the places where other fine podcasts can be found. Also, check us out on Krypton Radio at 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Tuesdays and listen to their other content. They are a 24-hour internet radio station. Please rate us and review us on iTunes, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Up next week, we've got lots of stuff ready to go. We don't know who will be.
I think I know.
But we'll figure that out, and we'll have something really exciting for you next week. Okay, that should do it for this episode of TG Geeks Webcast. Be sure to check out the article for this webcast episode. We'll have several links on the page. And remember, you can comment on our Facebook page or our website, tggeeks.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357. From TG Squared Studios, I'm Keith Lane. Thanks for listening. Please be kind to yourself and those around you. Peace.
Cheers.